You may not realize this, but a good number of our folks in our congregation are part of the economic development of our downtown area. Dan Bowman bought D&J Glass downtown. Angie Simon has bids and dibs. Others of you own property downtown. Others of you work in the downtown area. Some of you help fund improvements. Some of you are at work on committees and groups towards redevelopment efforts. Jared and Alicia Martin just opened Midwest Sports and Fitness, just in the building just north of Angie Simon. Their building includes a CrossFit gym. On the Saturday before Halloween, the CrossFit gym hosted a Day of the Lifting Dead. Get it? Come on, people. Day of the Living Dead. Day of the Lifting Dead. I thought it was cute and funny. So many members of our own CrossFit gym, and then other people from out of town, the region, signed up to compete in 5 different lifts. The goal for each person was to see if they could improve their personal records in these various lifts. But the competitive intensity of that Saturday morning was focused on really competing with yourself to be the best that you can be. The music was loud, and the gym was loud. When people were lifting, everyone would be gathered around, screaming encouragement for the person who was on then, doing the lift. The whole day was characterized by people cheering for each other and rooting for one another to excel. Now, I don't personally do CrossFit. I know that's a surprise. My wife does. Some other people in the congregation do. And so I know how it works. The people who do this, they really care about each other. They become friends as they work out. They hold each other accountable. They encourage each other to take risks, and they inspire each other towards life transformation, towards getting better, getting stronger. And they welcome everyone into this CrossFit community. That Saturday morning a couple of weeks ago I'm talking about, there was a woman competing who was on oxygen, going for her personal weightlifting records, and people were cheering her on. I think that CrossFit would even allow me in, for goodness sake. It's a very welcoming community. Now, what if church was more like that? What if church was a focused, intense, energetic community that aspired to excellence, that held each other accountable? A group of people who rooted for each other and welcomed everybody no matter where they were starting out. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I realize that this may be a difficult week for us to imagine something like that, something so compelling and so beautiful, but I do think it's possible. In last week's sermon, I referred to the polling that predicted that about half of Americans would be voting for Donald Trump and about half for Hillary Clinton. And that's what happened. And Donald Trump won. He is our president-elect. I also said that it will be the work of those on the winning side not to gloat. And it will be the work of those on the losing side not to become so angry and demoralized that they drop out of the collective work of our common citizenship. And that's exactly where we are today. And the question that I put to all of us last week remains a powerful and a challenging question this week. In spite of our pointed and ongoing differences, are we willing to begin to work together towards a shared future that will be good for everyone, for all of us? Will we here in this congregation and in this community, will we work together for the flourishing of our little place and all the people in it? As some of you know, I chose to be rather active, and let's call it firm, on social media following the election. I was more combative and feisty than is usual for me. But I do want you to know that I did that on purpose. All through this election season, I was listening to people talk. I was hearing the fears of some members of our community, especially women, African Americans, brown people, those who are LGBTQ. I heard from them about their fears. I heard from their family members. I heard from their teachers in our school system that they were worried for their safety and for their future. And so I thought it was important to send a message that they are not alone. That in me and in this congregation and in many, many other good folks in this community, they have allies and friends who will demand that all persons be treated with respect and dignity. So let's do our best to be honest. This is a good place to try to be honest. Right now, we're all pretty divided on what matters most. For those of you who identify as conservative or as Republican or who voted for Donald Trump, I want you to know that you are valued people in this congregation and in this community. Never once in this election season did I, as a pastor, or did we as a congregation suggest that all people of faith have to inhabit the same political framework. And I know that many of you who voted for Donald Trump did so because you are frustrated with economic stagnation, frustrated with politicians, with the media, and you want change and movement in new directions. Many of you liked what he had to say about the damaging effects of global trade. You liked his call for massive infrastructure investment in our failing roads and bridges, and his vision for lower taxes. Those are legitimate concerns, no matter how any of us voted. For those of you who did not vote for Donald Trump, I want you also to know that you are valued people in this congregation and in the community. No doubt you are some combination of angry, frustrated, confused, and hurting right now. That's okay. That's okay. There is time. It's early. We do not all have to join hands today and sing Kumbaya as if we've got it all figured out. It's early, right? So let's show ourselves a little bit of patience. Give ourselves some time and space to move forward and figure things out together. It is early, but I do think even this early, there are some things that we can agree on together. And if you don't agree, you'll tell me. So that's good too. We can agree that there's no excuse for violence. Protest, absolutely yes. Nonviolent protest is a deep and abiding American value. We are critical of our country because we love our country and we want it to be great. That's where criticism comes from. But violence and vandalism, that will always move us backward, not forward. We can all agree to continue praying for all of our leaders, including President-elect Trump. I found it amusing that some responded to my critical comments about Trump's comments and behavior that I should just pray for him. I got that a lot this week. I just pray for him. Apparently, they don't know how the Presbyterian liturgy works. We have been praying for Donald Trump as one of our presidential candidates for nearly a year now, and we will keep doing so today and in days to come. Finally, I hope that we can agree that no form of bullying or divisive hate speech will be overlooked or ignored in our congregation or in our community. Donald Trump won the election, I think, because he is an agent for change. He had some ideas about how we should change. And also probably because Hillary Clinton wasn't a very compelling candidate to many. But we elected not just the good and exciting parts of Donald Trump, we elected all of him, his dark side included. You have one, I have one, and he has one. And I hope that we can all agree that we are not going to speak about minority groups like he has. We are not going to demean and diminish women or Mexicans or Latinos or Muslims or African Americans or gay people or disabled people. Likewise, if you find yourself internally cheering for that, you should also hear this. Likewise, we are not going to demean and diminish folks here in the rural heartland as if everyone's nothing but uneducated, unthoughtful racists. That's not true. And we shouldn't talk that way. I think we have a great opportunity to live like people who have organized their lives around the grace, the mercy, and the compassion of Jesus Christ. Challenging time, but I think a great opportunity for us. It won't be easy, of course. And up until now, I suppose we haven't been doing a very good job of listening to one another and trying to understand one another. So one question for our congregation is, do we bring anything life-giving to the public table, to the public conversation? Do we represent a compelling and beautiful alternative to the lack of kindness and empathy on display during our election season? Do we embody for others a concretely different way to live and be together and talk to one another and listen to others? I do think there's a lot at stake. Communities of faith are in danger of losing our voice. And lots of people are noticing. And so we have work to do, lots of good work to do, right here, right now, starting today. Can we come together and fight together for a new way of life that affirms the dignity of all people and does so by peaceful and respectful conversation and listening? Can we do the work of really hearing all sides of an issue? And I mean really hearing the frustration of white folks here in the middle of America who feel like the new economy has left them behind. Can we hear that? And I mean really listening to our black and brown and gay brothers and sisters about what American life and what our community feels like to them. I ask these questions as if we have an option. We don't. This is the world. Welcome to it. We have to move forward together. Either we find a way to settle into the courage that comes to us from the Spirit of the living Christ in our midst, or we will forfeit the privilege of being a sustainable and ongoing community of faith. The prophet Isaiah speaks to people who have been through traumatic loss and who are feeling understandably nervous and anxious. They've just returned from exile to their homeland around Jerusalem. They, like us, are waking up into a different world and a new day. They don't know what to expect. And into that confusion, Isaiah speaks a fresh word of God's promises to make all things new, to make a new heaven and a new earth, to bring the whole world into wholeness. Now, what is this promise of a new heaven and a new earth? The image you get is of a populated city, Jerusalem, nestled within the broader contours of nature and animals. It's not an ethereal, otherworldly vision of angels and spirits in the sky. This vision of newness could not possibly be more concrete. It's a city where kids don't die too young, where people flourish and live long lives, where the economy works for everyone. Please notice, if you need to go read that Isaiah passage again, notice how important economic justice is in our scriptures and the ancient Jewish and Christian tradition. The masonry workers and the farm workers, they aren't low-paid cost savers for those who own the businesses. Everyone, we're told in this new world, will enjoy the fruits of their labor. It's a world of win-win solutions on all fronts for all people. It's not a world cut up into winners and losers. Even in the natural world of animals, there will no longer be predator and prey. It's a vision of a city of justice and harmony and wholeness. And those who hear the words of the prophet are not to settle into a comfortable life of ease because they've heard these promises. We're to hear these promises as the energy we need to get to the get into the work of making this newness visible and imaginable here in our own communities. At Thessalonica, some in the community are failing this test of a faith-fueled, energetic life. Some in the community have come to the dangerous conclusion that the good news of God's nearness, God's arrival, and God's presence releases us into a life of irresponsible rest. Some in the community were misreading the significance of Isaiah's promise of newness. They misunderstood God's promise about a new heaven and a new earth, and more to the point, their practices of disengaging, of checking out, and shutting down were endangering the community's health and life. So the writer of the letter had to remind the community of a guiding rule for community health. Those who don't work, don't eat. Wow, that sounds harsh, doesn't it? We do have to be careful as we hear this. The rule can't be used against those who are unable to work, against those who'd love to work, who want to work if they were able, but can't work or can't find work. But the rule makes sense. Any community cannot sustain itself if a portion of the members want to benefit from the fellowship but aren't willing to contribute to the sustainability of that community. When you read Scripture, widows, orphans, refugees, prisoners, the poor, and children, those are the people right in the middle of our concern, care, and compassion. This isn't about them. This is about those who have checked out of the struggle and have opted for leisurely rest when there is still so much at stake, still so much work to do. It is not time for irresponsible rest. It's time for energetic, imaginative, shared work that's fueled by God's promises for a new heaven and a new earth. I'd plan to say a lot more about how CrossFit works, but I don't have time. So I'm not going to say much more. There's a website called howwegather.org. It's a research project of two divinity school students who created this map of different kinds of communities that are attracting younger millennials and help them express their spirituality. Now, CrossFit is one of the communities that website talks about. There are lots of others, and you can go to the website if you want to explore more about that. But the name of that website, How We Gather, is a pretty good question for us today. How are we gathering? We gather as people who need each other, as people who need God, as people who need good news. We gather as people who are attracted to Jesus' way of life and teaching. We gather in hope as we wait and work with God for the newness that we have been promised. We gather to be reminded that the good news is expansive and inclusive. We gather to be challenged and to be inspired to a life of excellence. But we don't stay gathered. We gather so that we can disperse, to be sent back out into our lives and into the community to live and to work for this promised newness. We go back out together as God's beloved friends for the good of the world. Amen.